Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Want to welcome those of you, our online audience, tuning in as well, who couldn't physically be here with us. We're glad that you are able to tune in. And I know every week I get an opportunity to meet someone who is here for the first time. So if that's you, we want to welcome you especially. Maybe you're here because someone invited you to be here. We're just grateful that you've chosen to be with us. Because we have just started a brand new series last week. We're calling The Family Matters. Why? Because the family matters to God, and we all deal with family matters, all of us, regardless of what our family looks like. And if this past week the feedback that I've gotten from this topic is any indication, I can tell that this topic has struck a chord with you. And that's a good thing, because family is a topic that strikes a chord with God as well. Family is His idea. It was His idea, and it still is His idea. And we know our families aren't perfect. We talked about that last week. My family's not perfect. Your family's not perfect. I mean, none of our families are perfect, but God still uses imperfect families for His purposes. And so we're going to continue to talk about that and how that shapes us and how this shapes our families. Because remember, what we have set out in this series, we said last week, our objective is to build healthy, Christ-centered relationships with our families, and to build and create spiritually vibrant homes, households. Now, we all know our households look very different, but regardless of what your household looks like, I think today's topic is going to be relevant to you. We're going to talk about expectations. I want you to look at this formula here. Maybe you've seen something similar to this. It goes a little something like this. Happiness equals experience minus expectations. Here's how this plays out. It plays out in small ways every day, day to day. For example, you walked in here this morning. You have certain expectations. You expected us to start on time. You expected the room temperature to be within a certain range, the volume of the music to be within a certain range. Now, this formula would say that if your experience has met or exceeded those expectations, we generally leave here today happy. But if our experience falls below those expectations, then it would say that we also generally leave unhappy. Now, these are small things that we don't get too worked up about very often. But what if this same dynamic works out in the dynamics of our family, our relationships within the family? For example, maybe you were headed here this morning and your expectation was that everyone in your family would be on time to get to services on time. Well, let's just say someone slept in or someone didn't get there on time. You might have had an interesting conversation on the way here today. Not that that would ever happen in anybody's household other than ours. But your expectations, right? You had certain expectations, and if it fell below that, this impacts our relationships. You see, if I meet or exceed your expectations, or if you meet or exceed my expectations, we're good. If we fall below those, then all of a sudden we have an expectation gap. And in that expectation gap, we have to make a decision of what we are going to fill that gap with. Now, some of you are already looking at that formula and you're going, okay, I've got this figured out. The key to happiness is just to lower my expectations. Well, it doesn't exactly work that way now, does it? I mean, Eeyore had low expectations, yet he was Eeyore. That's not the way that life works. What we're talking about today is not trying to manipulate or manage our expectations in life for some fleeting moment of happiness. But what I do want to say today, the point that I want to make, is that the expectations that we place on ourselves, that we place on others, especially within our family, are far too powerful of an influence to ignore. Because these have great implications for our family. Not only the quality of the relationships within our family, but over time, determining the direction of our family. So by the end of our time today, my hope is that we can better identify those expectations, that we can better identify where those expectations even come from, and then finally, to be able to align our expectations to God's great expectations for us. Let's pray together, and then we're going to dive into 1 Samuel chapter 17. Father, we thank you for your word. We bow before you. We submit our will before you, just asking you to speak to us. Would you speak love? Would you speak truth? Would you speak life? Would you bless the preaching of your word today? Would you bless the hearing of your word today? And Father, our prayer is that you would bless the doing of your word this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles or your Bible app, I want to invite you to turn over there to 1 Samuel chapter 17 in the Old Testament. This is one of my favorite books in Scripture. And that's mostly because it covers one of my favorite people in all of Scripture, King David. But actually in 1 Samuel, well, he's not King David yet. He's just David. He's just shepherd boy David who loves God and loves his family. In fact, it's because of his family that he finds himself at a battle on this particular occasion. He finds himself at the battle because his father has sent him there. In the Valley of Elah, his father Jesse has sent him out. Why? Because he has three other brothers at the battle, and Jesse wants to make sure that they're doing well. So he sends David out to give him some food and to bring back assurance that his boys are doing well. Insignificant task, it seems, but God would have other plans on this day. Let's begin reading. Let's pick up at verse 20. Early in the morning, David left the flock in care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Then, skipping down to verse 31, what David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." This leads us to the first thing that I want us to see, and the first thing that I want to encourage you in this morning, and that is show up to the fight. David, he didn't come out looking for a fight, but one found him. And while everyone else is making their plans, well, David's making it personal, and I want you to see why. It's because David has an expectation that the living God would be honored, not disgraced, like it said here in the text. And I want you to see that that expectation overcomes everything else. Everyone else is running the other direction. These warriors of battle that David no doubt looked up to, they fled. They're running the other direction. David's brothers, who he no doubt looked up to, they're calling into question his character. They're calling into question his motives, saying, why did you even come out here? You're conceited. You're about yourself. It seems like sometimes the people we love most support us the least. But that doesn't faze David. I want you to notice that if we kept reading, you would see that in verse 33, even Saul, okay, the king of Israel, Saul, tells David, you are not able. Can you imagine hearing those words from your king? Maybe you can't imagine hearing those words. Maybe someone has spoken those words to you. Saul says to David, you're not able. You're too young. Goliath is too strong. He's too experienced as a warrior. You just need to, you know, step back. But yet again, this does not faze David, because his expectation of God is stronger than the expectations that others have for him. I want you to see why. David explains this for us. He says in verse 36, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Makes sense to David, right? Because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. David tries on the armor, and scripture says he tries walking around. I picture David being a lot smaller than Saul. He fastens the sword around him. I picture with his height, maybe he's dragging this armor around, and he's dragging this sword behind him, just leaving a trail, a line in the dirt behind him as he's trying to wear this armor. But David is a young man, but he is a wise man. And he says to Saul, I cannot go in these. He says, I've not proved them. This isn't me. He has to lay down the king's armor. He has to lay down the king's armor. Maybe you do too. Maybe you have expectations that not only has someone else placed on you, but maybe it's the expectations that you have placed upon yourself. We look at someone else and we say, you know what, I need to be a little more like them. This would have been easy for David to do. Look at Saul and go, okay, that's what a warrior looks like. I just need to look a little more like that. And we begin to look at someone and we go, if I could just be a little more like that. If I could just maybe have their voice, have their style, have their education, have their opportunity, have their leisure time. If I just had a little more of what they had or looked a little more like they did, then maybe I would show up to the fight. And we start to put armor on ourselves that we weren't meant to carry. Now, David, he lays down the king's armor, but a lot of times when we lay it down, it has the opposite effect. David showed up to the fight, but a lot of times we just say, well, I can't do this, and then we become very passive. And we stop showing up to the fight for our families. Saul's message is very clear to David. He says, okay, the Lord go with you. You can go fight. But you're still lacking. You still need more than you have. You still need more than you are. And that message, that sentiment, still continues to flow through the hallways of households all around the world. You still need more than you have. You need more than you are. You know the way that this plays out in families, especially if you still have children in the home, or even if you don't, you still need to do more. You still need to be more. We hear this even in the way that we talk to each other. We say, you know, what activities are you doing? What sports are your kids playing? Where are you volunteering? We walk up to each other and we say, hi, how are you? And what's our response? Oh, you know, busy, busy, busy. I mean, we're just running around like crazy. I mean, we don't even know whether we're coming or going. Yeah, me too. 'Tis the season. You know, we do that. We talk about that as if it's such a noble thing. You've probably heard if the devil can't destroy, he'll be satisfied just to distract. And we get so busy and we think, where did these expectations come from? You know, at some point, as a father of four, Alicia and I, we had to just stop and say, wait a second. Who said we have to do all this stuff? I mean, just because someone said, hey, if you want your kid to play, you're going to have to play year round. Who said? So you know what we did? We came back to what our expectations of our family were from the very beginning. We kind of came together, and even before we had any kids, we said, what do we want from this family? Better yet, the question is, what does God want from this family? We said, you know, this was just us. We said, we want to raise God-fearing, independent warriors for the kingdom who have a great relationship with us, even into adulthood, and have great relationships with their siblings. We go, okay, that makes sense. So I can't tell you how many times we've had to come back and say, you know, we could do this activity, we could do this, we could do that, but does it line up with what we're trying to do? Does it line up with God-fearing, independent adults, kingdom warriors in the kingdom? And it starts to make clear what it is that we should be about. Now, this is just our experience, but we have to look at how powerful those expectations that are placed on us, the expectations that we place on ourselves. I mean, we came to the place where we said, why should the culture get to determine the direction of our family? David didn't. David laid down the king's armor. And as he did, he picked up 5 smooth stones because he trusted God to deliver. I want to encourage you in this, our third point, trust God to deliver. Let's look at verse 47. David says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give all of you into our hands. David's full trust is in God. David showed up, and God showed his glory. And a giant fell. And so can yours. I don't know what giants your family may be facing right now, but I do know this. I know that the battle is the Lord's. And I know that we can trust him to deliver us. We can trust God to deliver us because he already has. When he sent his one and only son to close the greatest expectation gap ever known to mankind, that gap that was created by our sin, separating us from God. And Christ came and sacrificed his life, giving his body and his blood, sacrificing his life on a cross to close that gap forever so that we could be reconciled with God. He filled that gap with his righteousness. We can trust him to deliver us. If you have never accepted Christ, then that gap is still open because he is the only one who could close it. But if you have, and you've placed your trust in him, he's closed that gap for you with his righteousness. I want you to look at what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. He says, I eagerly, what church? Expect. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. See, God has great expectations for us, not because of us, but because of his Spirit in us. Jesus cleared the way, prepared the way, so that the Holy Spirit could enter our lives, indwell our lives, empower our lives, so that we could have relationship with God. God has great expectations for you. God has great expectations for us. He has great expectations for our families. May we not settle for anything less than that. Now, I want to be practical. I mentioned how, you know, Alicia and I kind of had a family value statement that we still come back to. And I would imagine even as our kids leave the home, we'll continue to come back to that, saying, okay, what is it that when we started out, what was it that God called us to? We have created a one-page document, a very simple document to help you create something like this as well. A family value statement. You're going to be able to find this at oakhillschurch.com/thefamilymatters. But instead of just sending you to that, I just want to kind of get the ball rolling on this as you think about what are God's expectations for my family. Here's kind of the idea. A conversation to unify the household just around what direction are we really headed in? Questions such as, what are your family priorities? What are your family priorities? What priority does God hold in your family? And what values guide your household? I want you to think deeply about these questions. My hope is that you'll have a conversation around the table with those in your household. I mean, these are just a few of the questions. We have more of these type questions in a way to guide with some scripture and just the entire exercise for you to be able to go through with those in your household. Gather around the table, gather around a meal, and begin to identify what direction does God really want our family to go? What are his great expectations for us? My prayer is that we will build Christ-centered relationships within our family, and that we'll begin to see spiritually vibrant households. My prayer is that we'll show up to the fight and that we'll be willing to lay down the king's armor and that we'll trust God to deliver. And when we do, may giants fall and may families rise up for generations to come. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, hear the prayer of our heart that we know aligns with your will because family was your idea. It began with you. You sent your one and only son to this earth. You planted him into a family. I'm sure an imperfect family just like ours. Father, our prayer is that we would align our expectations to yours. We know that these are not expectations that you have from us, but these are things that you have for us. We thank you for the good blessings and the great gifts that you've given our families. We give them back to you. We hold with open hands the people in our lives that you have allowed us to be a part of their lives for just a short time. May we give you honor. Just as David showed up to honor your name, may that be what our families do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.